Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
CBS, Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Panama. Panama and its storied history with the United States. I have photograph after photograph showing the men and machines building the Panama Canal, 1906 to 1913. A vast enterprise with, at that time, the biggest steam shovels and the most powerful trains on the planet. Still, it was hand-hewn in much instance. Today, there's a second parallel channel, I'm told. I've never been there. And both are struggling with the drought that has come to Panama in time, global change of climate. And the drop in water has meant that Panama must cut back on what can pass through and how much it can carry. The ships coming from west to east and east to west. At the same time, Panama is troubled by other factors having to do with its income from a copper mine, having to do with the Darien Gap and the tens of thousands pouring through the country, headed to the southern border and other parts of Central America. And there's an election next year. The leading candidate, a man by the name of Martinelli, who has been president before, is also condemned by a court for corruption, though he remains the leading candidate. And that's plenty of trouble, except for the fact that we have a government in the hands of someone who's already said it could destabilize, traveling to the Darien Gap with his colleague, the president of Costa Rica. Evan, thank you very much. You have much communication and good colleagues who respond to you about the troubles in Panama. What are you learning? Good evening again.
Good evening to you, John. I've been impacted by the degree to which multiple people in Panama with whom I'm in communication say that they've just never seen things this bad and never could have imagined that the things in Panama, which has traditionally been a relatively prosperous, stable, well-governed country despite various problems with corruption, et cetera, that things would get to this point. And so, as you pointed out, you have multiple intersecting pressures. Number one is the fact that the drought has forced a significant reduction in the number of ships going through, down about 40%, now going to about 22 ships, and may go even lower in February, which means that the amount of revenue that the Panamanian government is getting from this critical source is falling off significantly, as well as the global economic impacts of that. Now, that forces the government, already having suffered through significant economic difficulties during the COVID-19 period, to make some pretty hard choices in terms of maintaining subsidies and other things. So if that were little, you have a lot of pent-up frustration over things that happened during COVID-19, over a sense of slow or corrupt practices in taking major projects forward, frustrations with the current Nito Cortizo government, which is one of the things that even before all of this, got you to Panamanians yearning to go back to what was perceived as the good old days under Ricardo Martinelli, even though Martinelli is maybe in prison, by the time that happens. However, a lot of that pent up frustration with inflation, with other things, and especially with the sense of corruption, led to protests when this mine, First Quantum, which is responsible for something like 5% of the entire Panamanian economy, this is something that's just emerged in New Year's. There were questions over the way in which they inherited this mining concession, but a couple of years ago there was a Supreme Court decision that said no, that the contract was bad, and so the government was stuck. This is a mine that employs 40,000 people. You can't just not do it, and so they try to renegotiate a new agreement. The frustration now is that it was seen that new agreement was too generous to First Quantum, and some questions about its constitutionality. And so that, along with all those other pent-up frustrations, unleashed these protesters. The problem is that they not only block streets in Panama City and blocked streets in Cologne and blocked, streets all the Panamanian highway. But they've also blocked the ability to get in supplies like coal that you need for the power plant to actually run the first quantum facility. So on the one hand, while this is going literally this week towards a Supreme Court decision, whether they're going to take away the concession or not, and that could essentially, shut it down as well as other mining for the time being. But even now, because they can't get, coal in to power the generators or other supplies, as of last week, First Quantum has already announced that they had to suspend production. And little by little, they're basically laying off workers and talking about going to arbitration under a Panama Canada, because First Quantum is Canadian, under a Panama-Canada trade pact that has arbitration provisions. And so at the end of the day, you basically have the Panamanian government running out of money because of the canal transits, running out of money in employment because of the shutdown in First Quantum, which only deepens the frustrations as Panama goes into the 2024 election period and really just tries to make it through the current holiday season.
And what is the formal relationship between Washington and Panama City? Is there a treaty in place, something that would bring the U.S. in the event of destabilization?
Well, there's not a traditional military alliance, as one might think of it. Certainly the U.S. Up until it everything changed with the 1977 Carter-Torrijos Treaty, which handed control of the Panama Canal and the Canal Zone back over to Panama. But left in place was essentially a commitment by Panama. The current operating treaty essentially, which make sure that the canal will remain open to all parties without prejudice and creates some options for not just the U.S. but others to get involved if anything jeopardizes that transit. That is long. Panama is long had a close relationship with the United States. There are many different U.S. expats that live throughout Panama. It's always the U.S. has always had a strong role in the development of Panama. And so the U.S. is, although remembered by some with bitterness, but with also by many as with fondness. And because of the importance of the United States with respect to Panama's economy, a desire not to get too far from the United States, which was arguably one of the reasons why the Nito Cortizo government was brought in, a sense that the previous government of Juan Carlos Varela in moving towards China had taken Panama too far away. And so there's a bit of a love-hate relationship, but Panama has not only strong formal ties, but also I think strong cultural and political ties to the United States.
The Panama Canal Zone, in the event of it leading to, well, we've seen big protests in Panama City recently. We could see them again, depending upon the circumstances of the income. Is the U.S. obliged to provide security for the canal if there is trouble in Panama City? I'm playing worst case scenario because it comes up a lot in South America.
Well, I would say that the U.S. Is not necessarily obliged, nor do I think you see with the Biden administration a taste for kind of that level of military interventionism. But certainly, the U.S. is watching what goes on in Panama with much concern because of its importance to the U.S. and also global financial flows, trade flows, commerce flows, and that has long been the case. And so, Panama certainly does, I would say, get an outsized amount of attention in Washington because of that broader global importance. So again, I don't see a scenario for military intervention, but I certainly do see a scenario for strong U.S. interest in helping the Cortizo administration to weather the storm to basically maintain stability in the country.
There are arguments made that our adversaries in Eurasia, Russia and China, are actives in social media and in cyber to undermine the credibility of the United States in Europe, in Asia, in Africa. Is there also a suggestion that that could happen in Central America and Panama? Does China stand to gain if the U.S. is seen to be a troublemaker and not a peacemaker?
Well, John, I would distinguish China from Russia and some of its allies with respect to the Cubans and the Chavistas in Venezuela, et cetera. But there's long been a sense that in a number of these crises, while the crises themselves reflect legitimate concerns, frustration over endemic corruption and insecurity and inequality and delayed development and things like that, in recent years, the what I call adversaries of U.S.-style democracy have learned how to weaponize some of those protests to try to destabilize key U.S. allies. As far back as 2019, the way that protests were directed against critical economic targets in Ecuador, for example, or in Chile, where you had simultaneous strikes over a 4-cent increase in the Santiago metro, but which ultimately led to a virtual political meltdown in Chile. Or more recently, some of the protests that occurred in Peru during the early days of Castillo. And certainly in that list, Panama is kind of on that list, the question of, how did these strikes get to this point and to be this sustained? Is there a weaponization? And certainly in a more broad level, there has been some published evidence of, Russia in conjunction with others using essentially social media to leverage the fact that in Latin America, people get their news and coordination on things like protests from, things like WhatsApp or Facebook. And so Russia with its bots and trolls and inserting misinformation and then trying to tie that to state media outlets like Russia Today or Sputnik have been essentially mucking around to try to decrease confidence in and increase difficulties in democratic partners, including places like Costa Rica in recent elections, just to name a few. And so, certainly that issue of the weaponization of discontent on top of the legitimate sources of discontent is just yet another problem that Latin American democracies, very close to U.S. borders face.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report. Venezuela, the rogue failed state of Venezuela, is looking to be normalized by its neighborhood. Does that also mean Washington will bless? There's headlines. They're puzzling. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.